The Drive with Robin Ross. Jacaranda FM.
You're listening to The Drive with Rob and Roz, and there is a very, very exciting documentary coming out this week. It's called Rosemary's Hit List, and we are chatting to Valentino Matibela, who's the director, and Nicola van Niekerk, head of premium content across multi-choice platforms. Am I right? Good. I want to start with, why was it important to tell this story, Valentino?
I don't know if you have followed this story or where you followed it from, but I remember Twitter being a buzz. The memes, her memes made it to Twitter.
Yeah.
Every day she came and she would do something that would just keep her trending. And I was like, what is actually going on? Who's this lady, you know? And I kind of like started following what's happening. And then I realized that, oh, wow, this is a cop that happens to have killed a lot of people that she's accused of, taking out for money. And when I realized that it's not just people, obviously being a cop, then you are affiliation with the community and earning their trust, is something that I kind of wondered if she played on that, you know? And then I started following the story, and then, the gruesome details that started, you know, coming out, and I realized, oh my goodness, these are people that really trusted her.
Yeah.
These are people that she had authority over, because usually when you have that kind of background, you are then the breadwinner. And she's a mother. So I was like, okay, where does she stop? Are the children also taken out?
Yeah.
And then I started just gaining a lot of interest. And then, in a daily, we were seeing what's happening in court. And then I got a call. And the producers were like, there's something like this happening. But I had had conversations with Elle before about other things. Elle is actually the series producer at Idea Candy. To say, well, there's something like this. I was like, I'm in because I want to understand how a mother, a daughter, a sister and an aunt so powerful in the family of that background, who knew she had an upper hand, killed people while in blue.
A symbol of trust.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's somehow always more shocking when it comes from people you should be trusting.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
we hear about gruesome murders being perpetrated by a gangster, or we hear about a politician who's dirty, we're like, oh, that's expected. Mm. But when it comes from a mother or a school teacher or a priest or something, it sort of hits harder than it does otherwise.
Yes.
And also just the whole idea of a cop breaking the law.
Yes.
That to me, and not just a law like speeding or littering or whatever, actually going to the top of what crime is to take people's lives. From a channel perspective, Nicola, why was it important to kind of go through and do the research and make this?
You know, Rosemary's case broke. Well, she went to court a few weeks after the last episode of Devil's Drop dropped, and Twitter was abuzz, like Valentina said, and I also hadn't followed the story. So I immediately started sort of checking the daily stuff coming in, and Twitter was saying, can the creators of Devil's Door please do a series about Rosemary? And, you know, we honestly believe in giving the people what they want. So I immediately went to secure the funding for the series, and then off we went. And, you know, we got the budgets together, got Valentina on board, and as you say, 24 months later, here we are.
Yeah.
So what was the kind of hardest part of making this? Who did you speak to? Did you speak to people who were directly affected by what she'd done? And how difficult was it to kind of hear those stories from people who were victimized?
That is exactly what was the hardest part, because the victims, their pain, hey, it's still palpable.
Mm-hmm.
They are still living in fear. And I think it's because the trauma is made worse by the blind spot of what they suffered. This is someone that they held very close. She wasn't just another relative. She was the relative they knew they could rely on. And she played that role very well. So people's guards were down. And then to now suffer a crime at the hands of someone like that, whom when you're in trouble as a family member, you're thinking of calling. If you need a favor or something has happened and you need to escalate matters quickly legally, she is the family cop. So it was kind of like very hard for them to now trust us because they suffered at the hands of someone they trusted and held very dear. And we had to find different ways with different subjects to say, I know your trust has been betrayed before, but tell me what I need to do to earn it, just for you to have a conversation. Also because they were still, and they still are, living the trauma, right? And at that time, it was worse because they were still seeing her on TV all the time, the ones who could. And I think once we kind of like won their favor, we still got yeses and nos. Like you'd arrive and someone is like, I've changed my mind, sorry. And you have to understand. So time and banking time per subject, some of them we went more than twice because they'll say something. You talk to someone else and you realize, oh, we need to answer this with the previous person. Then you are coming back and they're like, but you were here and you've just reopened some wounds. So I think the hardest part was really getting them to trust us enough to open up and actually tell their story and live the experience again.
How long does it take to put something like this together? You know, how long does the planning, from the time you say we want to make this show, to the point where you're sending, let's say, a rough draft to editors, sort of just getting all of the stuff and finding all of the people you need to speak to, how long does that process go on?
A day and night process of at least 6 months.
So it's a lot of work we're talking about.
Yeah. And I think if it wasn't Nicola's timelines and deadlines,
there's never enough time for the creative.
We would still be working on this.
I think what shocked a lot of people about Rosemary and Lovu was just the fact that when we looked at her in court, it was like she had no remorse. She just almost was proud of what she'd done.
She's such an interesting character. I keep yo-yoing and I keep telling people, oh, she's the smartest woman. And then I'm like, no, she's not so smart. And there's a word in Afrikaans, domastrant. I think that's more what she is. And if you'll see some of the stuff that Valentina and them found, when she was taking out, she was smart enough to see the gaps in the policy system. I mean, she was faking being other people calling in. And as she's sort of completing the forms, and you'll see that in one of the episodes, I mean, she would literally write, you know, what's the name on the form? And she means to write her sister's name, but she accidentally writes her name and then scribbles it and then puts in her sister's name. So she's like, she's very smart, but she's also not smart. I don't know. And I think that's part of the manipulation, possibly, how she disarmed people into trusting her. And I mean, in court, she was just like a Hollywood movie, isn't it?
It was a meme machine.
If she's not flashing her bum, if she's not shouting at people throwing water bottles, then she's shuffling in and she's ill. I mean, and it's all just, it's incredible. But I mean, Valentina got to meet her in person, which really freaks me out. I feel like, I don't know if that was a smart thing to do.
How was that?
Not the smartest thing to do, but a necessary thing to do. I wanted to have an experience and also put, we were already dealing with a lot of names and statistics, and we have now put faces behind these names, and we have put souls behind the names, and now we understand her victims. And I'm like, of all these people that I've met, who would want to hurt them? They are needy. They, and not need in a negative way, but they are in need rather, right? Poverty stricken mostly, her family network, previously disadvantaged. She came out of that background and they were really hoping and looking forward to them uplifting her and the generations after her somehow to make sure that life is better. So I was like, what kind of psyche now masters that and then masters the system? Because it shows you that she knew the loopholes. She, one of the commentators was like, this is not a laywoman. It's true, but she's more than just not a laywoman and a cop. She's actually, she has a smart criminal mind. I think that's where the smartness ends.
Because, yeah, I mean, this was all just insurance fraud.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what it was. But you're talking about those people in the community who need help and uplifting and people you know and people in your own family. And then to sort of turn around and see them as tools and a means to an end.
And I think what was for me, and I didn't realize, is that especially in her family in Bushbuck Ridge, some of those people are earning 150 rand a week, right? And she had manipulated them into believing that they had to take out an extra policy here and there on that money, just so that she could make a quick 40,000 rand or
yeah,
whatever.
Because when you hear about the amounts that she was getting, I was like, a human life is not worth that. But you've actually broken it down to that is what that life is worth.
Yeah, and she would hint. Now, in retrospect, if they knew better, getting those phone calls should have been like a red flag. But it wasn't, because, again, this is someone obviously who's literate, more literate than us, so she knows better. Let me take her advice and take 20 rands from my 150 and join a burial society in case something happens, because Joburg is said to be the Wild Wild West. Meanwhile, she's kind of like saying, I'm coming for you, but they didn't know better.
When you met her, what was she like?
The most well put together prisoner.
I was going to say, even in jail.
Yeah. Very imposing figure. Even with the wardens, they know her. She knew and she knows and she enjoys attention, by the way. When she walks in, she's got that thing that I know all eyes are on me right now. Oh my goodness, well made up. Prisoner's clothing, yes. But an outfit made out of just the material to say I'm a prisoner. But the dress, you could say she's about to join a bridesmaid's a bridal party. You know, well put together, everything matches. And you wonder, with such physical or an illusion of order on the outside, and then the chaos that's inside this figure, it was just something to behold. And then she smiles, and you're like, okay, I wasn't going to start the conversation like that. But now I clearly have to play to the charm, because I want her to talk to me and I want her to feel like she can talk to me without suspecting me. And she still had that thing.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's like you need to be a participant in this game now.
Yeah.
In order to get what you need out of it. You need to acknowledge this nonsense that someone has created about themselves and humor it.
And remember, if you listen to Rosemary, even in most of her commentaries, I think it's in the court responses where she actually says, I didn't do it. I wasn't there. It wasn't me. But when she does not have to face justice and talk to anyone else, she speaks and refers to herself as the third person.
Oh,
I look beautiful. Thank you very much. They say Rosemary did those things. She didn't.
Obviously, there's been some kind of psychiatric evaluation of her.
She's been profiled, yes.
As
psychopath.
Yeah. I'm not a doctor, so I wasn't going to say that word, but that is what it's giving.
Yeah.
Nicola, how do you think audiences are going to react to this?
You know, I think this documentary has all the makings of the best documentaries, which is it offers you the highs and the lows. You know, you're intrigued by the person you're seeing. You're crying with the family members. You are astounded by some of the facts that come out. So I think viewers will really enjoy it, especially if they followed the trial. I think the most important thing is that when we watch this, is that I think we always need to consider the victims on the other end and not forget that these are real people that we're exclaiming over when we're watching it, because they hurt badly.
Mm. Valentina, how was it for you as a black female filmmaker to kind of go through all of this and get to the process of now having a completed documentary?
It was heartbreaking at most when cameras were rolling. Even in edit, sometimes you get to relive the moments because you remember the production stops and what was happening in that moment before you could roll again. I saw my mothers. I saw my sisters. I saw my brothers, most of whom I couldn't do much for, you know? And you just have to make them feel heard and seen and just be there and listen. But it was very heartbreaking, unbelievable pain that they've been put through. And then you look at what that pain also left behind, because for some reason, she managed to take out the hope of the families. Breadwinners. Witness was a breadwinner in his family. But if you look at the least that Witness was able to do, is so little. Yet he was the breadwinner and their hero. And she took that person away. You look at Brilliant, who was at school, the first kid and the only son that is in tertiary, and they are hoping, oh, then maybe we won't have to sell this and this and that so that we can provide. And then she took that hope away. So you can imagine, you know, you really just want to change the situation for the best. And there's very little you can do because it's done, but what you hope for is somehow that this process and experience grants them a beginning to a journey of healing.
And that kind of stays with you, hey? As the creator, part of the team, you can't just shake it off. It kind of embeds itself somehow.
Yeah, and most of it, I think not just me, the entire crew are still, you know, dealing with it. We talk often, how are you doing? And then someone will say, Ish, I had a dream, you know? And you're like, tell me about it. And then you realize, okay, it's the trauma playing out, but we are trying to live with it because we absorbed a lot. But I think it's better for us because we somehow also offloaded them of a burden of never ever like being given an opportunity to spell out their pain. We only need a portion for the series, but you give them an entire day to just speak and have an outlet of sorts. And then they feel like, oof, some of them will even tell you, I feel like a burden that I've been carrying has also now been offloaded, because the other thing is that they would speak to the media, but they were not speaking in their mother tongue. So if they can now for the first time express their pain and use words that are meaningful for them, because they can express themselves in their mother tongue, which is Xitsonga, and they can actually have a conversation and feel like, you hear me, you know? That was one of the highlights.
Yeah, I can't imagine how difficult this must have been to put together and to speak to all the people. And to, as you say, I hadn't considered that. You sort of consider easily the loss of people, but not that loss of hope that you were talking about and what those people represented to those around them as well. I think it's going to be an incredible story to see. I really, really do. And I know in South Africa, we keep talking about this country as a movie, but it is. And we will keep finding stories like these and keep having to tell them.
Mm.
They're important.
Yeah. Showmax, 14 June, Rosemary's Hit List. Thank you so much, Valentina and Nicola, for joining us. I can't wait to watch it.
Thank you for having us, and hope you enjoy it. And as Nicola said, remember those victims. Yeah. You can see their faces and you'll know their names now. They're not just dead anymore.
The Drive with Robin Ross. Weekdays, 4 to 7.